this morning. Amen. Make sure on your way out that you say bye to Brother Mark. Amen. We're launching him out to Antarctica to start a home for penguins. So he's out of here. No, just kidding. Amen. Just kidding. We don't have homes for penguins. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go ahead. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, God. We love you. We thank you for being here in our presence this morning, God. And Father, as we bring forth your word, God, we pray that you would open it up to us, God. Father, you speak a specific word just for us, Lord. And Father, I pray for every person in this place, God. Oh, Father, have your way in their hearts, their minds. We pray that your Holy Spirit would have full control, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can go and have a seat here this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, I am excited, amen, to be here on a Sunday morning. I don't count it lightly. I want to thank my pastor for giving me this opportunity to speak on a Sunday morning, amen. Let's make sure that we keep our pastors in prayer as they're in Mexico and getting at the regional meetings. And then also keep me in prayer, amen, because my wife is headed to Mexico, so it's me and the kids a whole week, amen. So if you guys are cooking dinner and, you know, call me, I'll be there, me and the kids, amen. I would be at the regional meetings. Let me break it down to you. So last year we had a transition, right? We transitioned the youth ministry, amen, to the region and all that. And so we got the phone call, and they said, well, you know what? You're going to go ahead and be moving on. You've been working with a great guy, Devin, and they're going to be taking the region. And I'm like, yeah, it's awesome, right? And then it's like, well, what about Sister Michelle? And I was like, oh, no, we need her. She's too valuable. And so she has to, she's still going to Mexico, amen? She's going without me, amen? So, I got kicked out and she got promoted. I don't know how that worked, but I don't know. This might be some high classified information, but I'm going to say it anyways. We're all family. I was walking by the other day. She was getting ready for her meeting with all the international superstars in California. And I was walking behind and I saw like Sister Michelle over an area. And I was like, well, you know, last year she was like the international admin for Gang Girls International, and I walked by and I was like, hey, why is your name right here? And she said, because they thought you know, they were going to give her a territory to oversee, amen. So I got kicked out and now she oversees Europe. So she's shaking her head. She's like, you should not have said that. I'm saying it, amen. So congratulations, Sister Michelle, amen. All right, so let's jump right into it. Genesis chapter 37. And the title of my message this morning is New Year's Elevation. How many know that many times when a new year comes, we start to make these promises to ourselves? And they're called New Year's Resolutions, right? We're all going to eat better, lose weight, exercise more, spend less time watching TV, etc. And that goes on about till January. What day is today? January 13th. Amen. So we don't need a New Year's resolution. We need a New Year's elevation, right? A New Year's revolution. Come on, somebody. How many know that God has called us to do something that we've never done before, to take us places we've never been before, right? God in 2019 has already spoke through our pastors, amen, that this is our year to elevate. It's our year to, I don't know about you, but this is the year I'm expecting that God would raise me up, amen. God would take me somewhere I've never been before. God would do something in my life, that God would begin to pour out blessings that I've never had before, to take me places I've never been before. I don't know about you, but this is my year to elevate. Is it your year to elevate? Come on, somebody. Some of you have been sitting in church too long without taking a step out and watching what God can do in your life. Watch what God can do with just a little step. Now, I want to speak this morning about Joseph. Amen. So we're going to jump into Genesis chapter 37. And I just got 7 quick points about New Year's elevation, and then we'll get out of here. Here we go. Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. The Bible reads, Jacob lived in a land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Verse 5. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out of the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Verse 8. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. So we see the first thing, point number one, if you want to elevate this year, is you have to declare your dreams. You have to proclaim them, right? God has given you a vision. God has given you a dream. God has given you a promise. Begin to speak those things into existence. Begin to tell your neighbor, you know what? God spoke to me that God is going to do something amazing in my life this year. Begin to speak and proclaim God's blessings over your life. Begin to speak that promotion at your job. Begin to speak those blessings over your life. Begin to speak your ministry increase and growth. Begin to speak blessings over your marriage and over your kids and over your family. Begin to declare the dreams that God has given you. Declare them. Stand on them. Speak to them. Share them with your neighbors until they don't want to talk to you no more. Until they get tired of you talking how blessed you're going to be. Because when God comes through, when God makes it happen, when God does what he's going to do in your life, then you are going to be where God wants you to be. Your neighbor at work, they're going to get tired of you. They might get so tired you get promoted, and that's what God wanted to do. Come on, somebody. Begin to declare your dreams. Speak them. Say, God, I know that you're faithful. God, I know you're the God of the impossible, the God of the improbable, the God that can move the mountain, the God that can make the crooked way straight. I know who my God is, and I know that this year is our year to elevate. Declare your dreams. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. Sometimes you got to write your dreams down. Right? Write them down and look at them every once in a while. Put them on the wall. So when you wake up in the morning and you don't want to get out of bed, come on, somebody. Oh, I'm a snooze button fool sometimes. Right? I set it way early on purpose just because I know it's going to take 4 to get me up. Right? My wife's crazy. She's like, just set it for the time you're going to wake up. And I'm like, nope, I got to wake up early. And it turns out she's the one that gets up instead of me. Come on. I wake her up. Praise the Lord. But write them down so you can see them, so you can look at them, so you can think in your mind. Let it settle in your heart the dreams that God has given you, so you don't forget. How many know that you can have an amazing dream? Come on, somebody. You were flying through the air, dunking over all kinds of people. not just a 360, but like a 900, five turns in the air, right? Doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And then when you wake up a couple hours later, you forget. You're like, I had a great dream last night. And then they're like, hey, what happened? You're like, man, I forgot. I forgot what happened, but it was amazing. That's why you write your dreams down, so you don't forget them. So when the time gets hard, come on, somebody, and you feel like giving up, you feel like giving in, you can remember what God spoke to you. Write them down. Point number one, declare your dreams. Point number two, let's read in 37, 19, and 20. We're skipping a little. Joseph went to go find him. They went out to graze the sheep. His father had sent them. And then right here, so Joseph went after his brothers. This is halfway through 18. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Duran. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns, which is also a well or a pit, a water pit or a well. And say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes out of his dreams. So what's going on is his brothers, they don't like Joseph, right? They're hating on Joseph, right? Joseph is kind of like a tattletale, right? He told some stuff or whatever. And then his dad loved him the most. He was the youngest. And if you guys don't know, parents always love the youngest child the most. Just kidding, I'm the youngest child. Amen. I got one amen. Can I get two amens? Can I get two amens, three amens? Amen. Just kidding, that's not doctrine. Don't write that down. Scratch that out of the notes. That was a joke. Praise the Lord. So what happened here is, this group of people, the people that were supposed to love Joseph the most, his family, the people that were supposed to support Joseph the most, his brothers, right, his family, they were the ones that turned against him. Now, my second point, if you're taking notes today, is you have to take a look at who's around you. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. See, sometimes when God gives us a dream, God gives us a promise or a vision, then what takes place right after that is called the process. Right? And see, sometimes we'll get a dream of the great thing that God does, right? We'll get a dream of the great promise that God has for us. But then, see, God doesn't show us the process, come on somebody, that we have to go through in order to get that dream, in order to get that blessing, in order to fulfill that call. And the process ain't easy. Come on somebody. I know I can get a witness up in here this morning that the process is kind of difficult. Right? And this is mandatory. So what's taking place right here, God gave Joseph a dream, and then all of a sudden the plan of God begins to take place. The plan of God doesn't feel good, right? So he goes to check on his brothers, and his brothers, the ones that are supposed to love him, the ones that are supposed to encourage him, the ones that are supposed to be on his side, they plot to kill him. And sometimes when you're down in the pit, sometimes when you're down in the well and you're at the darkest part of your life and you know that God spoke to you and that you know that God gave you a promise, you can all of a sudden find yourself in a darker place than you've ever felt you've been up before, where you're set apart, where you're lonely, where you're cold, where you don't feel God, and you get there in the pit. You can begin to doubt yourself, doubt God. All kinds of things take place in the pit. And you ask yourself, God, why are all the people I love, why are all my friends giving up on me? Well, you see, what's really happening is your friends aren't giving up on you. God is getting you away from the people that are dragging you down. was all these brothers that were always up to no good. All the people that are always up to no good. God says, I got a plan for Joseph. I got a destiny for Joseph. I have to get Joseph away from these people because these people are going to drag Joseph down. So in order to do that, they're going to throw him in the pit. You know who's dragging you down. You know who's holding you back. Right? You know every time you go over to so-and-so's house, they're always talking about everybody, gossiping, this and that, cussing, listening to whatever they want to listen to, always negative, negative, negative. No, you ain't going to do that. You ain't never going to be nobody. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Always dragging you down. Dragging you down. When they're meant to drag you down, God wants to elevate you. But in order to elevate you, God has to separate you. Woo! You thought all your friends were leaving. God was just cleaning the house. He's like, get up out of here. Sometimes in the home, we trip out. We're like, oh man, all kinds of people left the home. God was just kicking some bad apples out. Every once in a while, the tree has to shake. Right, so the good fruit can grow. Woo! Just like in youth, sometimes in youth ministry. It's like, man, we're down to 20. We're down to, say, sometimes things got to happen. So God can grow. Number 3. Chapter 37, verse 28. This is right after they threw him in the well. Reuben came in, said, let's not kill him. Let's sell him as a slave. Verse 28. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. So what happened here is instead of killing him, the plan of God was taking place. And how many know the plan of God doesn't make sense when we look at it, right? You can look at the plan of God and say, really, God? Right? Because the plan of God don't make sense. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So don't try to calculate it. Don't try to break it down. When God speaks, you just do what God says to do, and God will take you to where God wants to take you to, right? So here what happens is they pull him out. He gets sold into slavery. Amen. And right then, you could think Joseph could just give up. Right? God spoke to him. God gave him a vision. Here he is. His own brothers, his own family members, they're selling him. Come on. For just 20 pieces. I don't know if that was a lot of money or little money or whatever. But they just sold him for 20 shekels of silver. And right then, Joseph could have made the decision. And every time God has a plan, we have to make a decision. Are we going to go through the process, or are we going to forfeit the plan of God? And Joseph was in the valley. He was at a crossroads where he had to make a decision. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. We will reap if we do not give up. My third point today is don't give up, because the storm's going to come, right? Part of the process is the storm. Part of the process is the trial. Part of the process is what you have to go through. Don't give up. Don't you dare give up, because God has a plan for your life. But the Bible says it's in what? It's in due season. It's in His time. Somebody say His time, not my time, His time. But God, I really want you to move right now. But if I gave you what you're asking for right now, you wouldn't be able to handle it anyways. You would squander it. You would mess it up, because you ain't the person you got to be yet. But once you get through the process, once I take you to where you need to go through, you'll be the person that is destined for what I have for you. But you might not be that person yet, Right? God still has to work on some stuff. How many of you got issues? Come on, somebody. Got some issues. God has to work those issues out. Right? God has to begin to work stuff out. You can't handle it yet. Right? Chapter 39. Skip over a few. Chapter 39. Let's do a little halfway through recap. Point one, declare your dreams. Point two, take a look who's around you. Point three, don't give up. Point number four, be faithful where you're at. Be faithful where you're at. Chapter 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. That the Lord blessed the Egyptian because of Joseph, right? And sometimes, see, people know there's just something about you. There's something about you when you're walking right with God. There's something about you when you're at your job. Listen, I don't claim to be the best at my job or whatever, but every company that I go through, that I go to, I mean, sales go up, right? I'm a nice dude, right? Whatever. But that's not just for me, that's for you. Because wherever God takes you, God will raise you. God will elevate you. And wherever you're at, whatever business that you're at, you will be blessed and they will be blessed because of you. And it's all because of our faithfulness. Be faithful where you're at. Matthew chapter 25, 21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share with your master's happiness." Right? So when we're faithful in the few things, right? We're faithful in the little things. God will begin to elevate us, right? He'll elevate us, so he'll put us master over many things. And I'm here to declare to you this morning, if you just think that today you might just be over a few things, maybe things last year, the last couple years, maybe things have been a struggle. Come on, somebody. Maybe things haven't been going your way. This is your year to elevate, right? Just be faithful for what God has given you. Be faithful with your tithes, with your 10%. Be faithful at your job. Show up on time and give it your all. Do all work as unto the Lord, right? Be a good example to your kids of your faith. When you're in the streets, witness. Tell people about Jesus. Do all you can do with what God has given you. And watch God give you more. Because when you're faithful in the little, God will make you master over much. We see here that Joseph was faithful at Potiphar's house. Right? And God just raised him up. Imagine being a slave and then turning from being a slave to a shot caller right there. Come on, somebody. But then, come on. Here we go. All of a sudden, here in verse 8, now Joseph, verse 7, but Joseph was well built. Come on, somebody. had P90X, took his New Year's resolutions serious, and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." All of a sudden. Verse 8. But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted me to care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked and sinful thing and sin against God?" Right? So, point number 5, just say no. Simple. Just say no. Right? Sin's going to come around. Temptation's going to come around. Just say no. I remember growing up in the 80s and 90s, we used to have Dare. Right? Remember Dare? It was like, everybody had bumper stickers that, right? Just say no. Listen, just say no. Right? I like what it says right here. It said, but he refused. Right? He refused. And that's how we have to be when sin comes knocking at our door. We have to refuse it. We got to refuse because that is the trap set in place by the enemy to steal your destiny. You got to refuse to lose. Say, I ain't going out like that. I ain't going to trade in all the things that God has for me. I ain't going to trade in all the blessings that God's promised me. And I'm not going to trade in all the things that God has already given me just for sin, just for a moment of pleasure and a lifetime of regret. Number 5, just say no. Amen. Number 6. So what's going on here in the story of Joseph is he gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, right? And then so Potiphar, of course, believing his wife, they send him to prison. So Joseph is there now in the prison. Chapter 39, verse 20 through 23. I'll read it real quick. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. I mean, that's powerful. Everywhere Joseph goes, God raises him up. Everywhere he goes, even when Joseph didn't need to get raised up, right? If you get sent to prison, you ain't got to be. You can just do your time, right? You can chill out. You can make soups and stuff. Come on, somebody. I know I ain't the only one that made a spread up in here. Just cut up some beef jerky and some Fritos and stuff. We used to put it in an empty potato chip bag and put it under the mattress. We called it the oven. There wasn't no oven. You know what I'm talking about. Joseph could have just did that. Made little baby shoes out of, you know what I'm talking about, little crosses out of the string and stuff. He could have got down like that. But that's not who Joseph was. Joseph was a leader. Right? Joseph had a promise. God had given Joseph a dream that he had never forgot. And so he knew if he was to fulfill that dream, that he needed to give whatever he did, all he had. Right? If I get the keyboard player up. And so we see here, not only did Joseph serve at Potiphar's house, where he got the notoriety, where he got the respect, but Joseph also served in the prison, where no one could see him. one paid attention to him. He served in the background, right? Where he wouldn't get no pats on the back, right? He wouldn't get none of that. Joseph knew how to serve when no one was looking. Amen. And if you want God to raise you, you got to learn how to serve when no one's looking. You can't just, when you come to church or when you show up to work, you gotta be who you are all the time. Right? You gotta study for stuff at your job when you're off the clock. You gotta show up a little bit early, stay late, volunteer for things. You gotta give it all you got. Right? If you want God to raise you up, then give him a reason to. Give it all you got. God's not gonna bless if you're just half-stepping. Right? God's not going to bless if you're going half speed. But give it all you got. Your marriage, give it all you got. With your family and you plan vacations, you just go do something with your kids, give it all you got. Right? With everything that you do, don't quit just getting by. Right? Expecting God to bless the bare minimum. Give it all you got. Watch what God does. Serve in the dark. Even when there's no pats on the back to be handed out, no gold stars to be given. Give it all you got. My last point, if we can all stand this morning. What happened after that? As a baker and a cupbearer came in and they had some dreams and Joseph interpreted them. The dream came to pass. And then one day, Pharaoh had a dream. And they were looking all over for someone to interpret that dream. Because it really bothered the Pharaoh. And then out of the back, someone said, I know a guy that I was in prison with that could interpret dreams. So they brought Joseph in front of Pharaoh. And Joseph not only interpreted his dream, but gave him a solution to the problem. Not only did he show his talent, but he gave a solution to what was going on with the famine that was coming. So when Joseph got his opportunity to shine, he shined bright. My seventh point, shine bright. When you get your opportunity, when the opportunity comes, they call you. Hey, you want to join a team and go to the prisons with us? Or let me make a special plug. We're opening our very first Victory Center in Rio Rancho. If you want to come be a part of it, come see me. Come see me. We're gonna be taking a city for Jesus. Or whatever it is, if you say, man, I live so far away that there's not a close life group I can go to, then why don't you get raised up and become a life group leader? And then in that section of the city or with that community that you live in, you can be the lighthouse. Whatever it is, when God opens the door and you have the opportunity to shine, then shine bright. Watch what God does. Close your eyes all over this place. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we know that this is our year to elevate, God. And just how Joseph received a dream from you, that you would elevate him. Father, I pray that this morning, that the people here at Victory Outreach Albuquerque would know that you have already said and spoke and gave prophecy, oh, Father, through our pastors and others, God, that this is our year to elevate. I pray that we would receive that, God, and that we would take the necessary steps and go through the necessary promise this year for you to do something amazing in our lives. If that's you here this morning and maybe one of these points spoke to you, maybe you're hanging around the wrong people. Maybe God wants to pull you away so he can lift you up. Maybe you're still battling with some secret sin and you just got to say no. I refuse to lose. Maybe God's been challenging you to be more faithful at your job, or to give it all you've got, or serve in the dark, or God's challenging you that maybe this is your time to shine, to finally step out and do something for Him. If that's you, I want you to step out of your seat this morning. Let's pray together.
Stronger, that you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome and power. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than. Stronger, God, you are.